I don't know why being up here 8 inches higher is like ups the ante. I was picturing myself on the floor, but maybe they put me up here because I'm short. Anyway, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, like Nat said, my name is Melanie Peebles. I first came to Neighborhood Church 20 years ago when I moved out to Cottonwood to marry my husband, Matt. And we lived here for a couple of years, then we moved away and around for over 10 years. And in 2015, we moved back here and started coming to Neighborhood again. We have four kids, ages 7 to 16, and this morning I'm here to share a little of my experience with depression. So back in 2020, I got a phone call from Dan Eckley asking me if I'd consider sharing a testimony of healing during a Sunday morning service. A few months previously, I had experienced two concussions and had to stay home for a long time. I was back at church and had experienced some healing. I started tearing up on the phone with Dan and said I didn't think I was up to that, because I was still not in a good place emotionally and was struggling with depression. Then I paused and said, but you know what? I think it's important for the church to hear work in progress testimonies, not just end of the road testimonies. So let me pray about that. And then I called him back later in the week to tell him I was struggling too much to be able to do it. So here I am a year and a half later, and Eric asked me if I'd be willing to share some of my journey with depression. I am, praise God, doing much better than a year and a half ago, but I am still giving you a work in progress testimony. This chapter of my life is not over yet, and though I rejoice that God has brought much healing and restoration, he hasn't seen fit to restore me completely to the health I had 2 years ago. Apparently, he's doing something better, and as he often does, something way beyond my understanding. So now I'll back up a little. My experience with depression started way back when I was 17. I had a family history of depression, but did not show any signs of it until that year. The year previously, a close childhood friend had died in a car accident, and during this year, my grandparents' house burned down, and my grandma, who I was close to, died as a result. These things somehow triggered something beyond a normal cycle of grief and loss. Months after the fire, I was still feeling hopeless and apathetic and crying every day. My parents sent me to counseling and to a doctor. God worked through both of them, and in time I recovered and was my more bubbly self again. I had many years of living free from depression, but in time another situation occurred that seemed too much for my mental health to bear, and I found myself back in the dark place of hopelessness, lethargy, and many, many tears. This has been a pattern over the years. I live life with normal ups and downs, moving forward with God. Hard things hit, God moves me through them, but then after a period of years, something really difficult happens, and I end up back in this struggle, not feeling at all like normal Melanie, struggling for hope and light. I think I've had 7 episodes like this over the past 25 years, some lasting just a couple months, and this one in particular over a year. It's difficult to describe depression to someone who's never experienced. It's not synonymous with grief or a series of bad days or a struggle for motivation. I've experienced those too, and this is different. For me, depression is a deep loss. Parts of me seem to fade away, and I can't access them anymore. My joy and energy and motivation and peace, my creativity and hopefulness, my focus and desire, even my interests. For me, I know it's depression and not just a slump, because I start crying without being able to stop, sometimes even without a reason to cry. I lose interest in things that used to excite me, and instead of being able to do 10 things a day, I'm doing well to accomplish 2. I do the normal things I do to reset during a bad day, reading scripture, turning on worship, expressing gratitude, calling a friend, and it doesn't touch my heart. The light goes from my eyes and my spark is gone. I can look back on pictures from my life, and in most of them, I have a sparkle in my eyes, and there's a sense of life. But in pictures from periods of depression, my eyes look almost empty. While on a normal day, I have trouble getting to bed on time and go to bed with a list of 10 other things I wish I could have done, on a depressed day, I can't wait until it's late enough to reasonably go to bed, and I'm just relieved I got through the day. I don't know what exactly caused my most recent relapse into depression. Perhaps it was the concussions and something shifting in my brain. Perhaps it was life circumstances. But it took me to the darkest place I've ever been. My thoughts got really disturbing, and for the first time in my life, I couldn't sense God. In other difficult times in my life, like the loss of a loved one or a sudden move, I have felt God to be near as I grieve. But this last time was different. I couldn't hear God. His word wasn't speaking to me the way it always had in the past. I'd read it and hear condemnation, not love. I experienced fear, fear of Satan, fear of God and what he might allow to happen to me. I couldn't sleep and I couldn't feel God's love. I'm very grateful for the people in my life who have shared their own stories of seasons of not being able to feel or hear from God because it was terrifying to me. I've heard from pastors, from missionaries, from godly women of faith that they too have had seasons of spiritual darkness, and I'm so grateful to know this. I think it's easy when we're depressed to feel that we must be doing something wrong, that if we could just find the right person to pray with, the right counselor, the right doctor, the right technique, the right thing to repent for, then the darkness would lift. But I have learned this is not the case. Sometimes we pursue all these things and the darkness persists for reasons we can't understand. And I've often wondered why. Why would God allow this to persist when to me it seems like it disables me for some of the kingdom work I love to do? Why would he allow this when I have less to give to others in these times? What could his purpose for my not hearing him possibly be? Why would he allow something that harms my relationships with others? I don't have answers to these questions. I'm like Brad in his sermon last month, looking at the 6 inches of the back of a tapestry, wondering how it could ever be beautiful. So I feel like the jury's out on what all I've learned about God and myself through this, but I would like to share with you some of the things I've learned. I've got 7. So first, I've learned to ask what and not just why. A friend once told me we can come to God with a shaking fist asking why, or open our hand and start asking what. What does he have for me in this? What is he doing? While I think God welcomes our desperate cries of why, learning to ask what as well has been helpful to me. For one, it puts me in a posture of greater humility. So often my whys come with an air of arrogance, thinking I know better. And for two, asking what reminds me that God is up to something. And it helps my perspective to start looking for it. Second, depression is not a one-size-fits-all or an all-or-nothing situation. The same thing that helped someone else may not help me. The same thing that helped me last week may not help me today. There is no magic formula. There are also not as many neat boxes as I'd like. I'd like to know what's spiritual, what's chemical, what's emotional, but a lot of times it's a mix. I'd like to say this depression has nothing to do with sin in my life. Or I'd even like to say this depression has everything to do with sin in my life and I can just repent and be free. But in my experience, it's been neither. Has sin caused my depression? No. Is there sin involved in my depression? Absolutely. I can't stop that first anxious or dark thought from coming, but I can decide whether to dwell on it and feed it or turn away to something else. I may be feeling fear or despair, but that doesn't give me license to therefore get more controlling and critical with my family members. So there's a lot of both and in depression. Another thing God has taught me is that I can put myself in the path of healing. Years ago, I read Piper's book, When I Don't Desire God, and one of the takeaways that has stuck with me all these years later was the idea that while I cannot in my own strength desire God or do X, Y, Z to ensure that he gives me those desires, I can put myself in the path of his healing. And I believe the same is true with depression. It's up to God to deliver me, but I can keep faithfully running to the places he has met me, scripture, prayer, worship, fellowship, whether or not I experience him there. I can try to get sleep. I can exercise and eat well. I can ask the elders to anoint me with oil and pray for my healing. I can ask brothers and sisters to pray with me. I can see a counselor. I can see a psychiatrist. I can open myself up to God and say, do what you will in your time and your way. Here I am. I can keep showing up even when I don't feel like it. I've also learned that I can bring God all my feelings. I listened to a Tim Keller sermon series a while back that talked about how unique Scripture's approach to emotions is. While so many cultures or religions advocate either shutting down our emotions, suck it up and move on, or bowing to our emotions, my emotions are my truth and I have to follow them. Scripture does neither. It invites us to bring our emotions to God, not ignoring them, and to let his truth speak to them, not letting them direct the course of our actions. I'm super grateful for all the despairing psalms where David shows up real and then ends speaking truth to his heart. Fifth, I've learned that I need the support of a lot of brothers and sisters when I'm depressed, and that's not a bad thing. There's a lot of social stigma around mental health issues. In addition to depression making us want to isolate, social shame can make us want to isolate when we're depressed, and the enemy can make us want to isolate when we're depressed. Many times I've heard the enemy tell me that people are sick of my struggle and I should just keep it to myself. And just as many times, God has met me when I reach out to others to pray with me. It's good to let others lay us before Jesus, and we can remember how blessed we are when we come alongside others when they're hurting and trust that they'll be blessed coming alongside us. Sixth, I can't change some things and I can change others. I've spent a lot of time in the rooms of Celebrate Recovery. We always end with the Serenity Prayer, and I have found it so helpful to pray that God will help me accept what I cannot change, to change what I can, and to give me wisdom to know the difference. In moments of darkness, there are things I have to accept, but there is also always something, however small, that I can change too. Maybe it's as small as moving my body outside to feel the sunshine. Lastly, I've learned to ask for prayer for healing and freedom. I'm sure that sounds super obvious, but it's actually something I've had to learn. Previously, when I've been depressed, I've prayed for relief and focused on looking for solutions, and those are good things. But it's not until this last episode that I went to the elders in the church and asked them to pray over me for my healing and to pray against the dark forces of the enemy. And it's not until this last time that I've opened myself up to many people asking for prayer for healing and freedom. So as you look for ways to put yourself in the path of healing, I urge you not to neglect this one. Eric asked me to share things that others have done that have helped me in the darkness. Here are a few. Not trying to fix me. While there's a place for pointing depressed people to truth and helpful tools, a depressed person does not need to be fixed. If you find yourself wanting to say, "If you would just," or "Have you tried?" give them a hug or offer to pray with them instead. And then if God leads you to share your own experience, great. But don't share it assuming they are depressed because they haven't done the one thing you did that helped. Life is more complicated than that. 2, remind me it's a season. I've had a lot of friends able to confidently say to me, "It won't be like this forever." Depression is always eager to tell you that things will be like this forever and nothing will ever change. If God plants hope in your heart for your struggling friend, share it. Pray with me and for me. During a season when I lived in Africa, I had a mentor challenge me not to be the one who said, "I'll pray about that," but to say, "Let's pray about that." Having people commit to pray for me has been a huge comfort, but it's also been a gift to have people take me right to the throne of grace right there on the spot. And that might not be true for everybody who's struggling with depression, but it has been for me. 4, speak compassionate reminders of truth. I am so grateful for the friends and family who remind me of God's truth with gentleness and love. They don't approach with a wagging finger and the condemnation of, "You need to remember," but with the compassion of, "Whether or not this feels true, remember this is true." And last, I've had people tell me they're not weary of me. Depression, especially long-lasting depression, likes to tempt people to isolate by telling them they've had this problem too long or someone doesn't want to be bothered again. And I know there are times when the people closest to me are weary of the struggle, and that is totally fine. But I also know God has placed certain friends in my life who genuinely don't weary of my calling for prayer or sharing about a tough day, and it's a gift to be reminded of that. I'd like to close by sharing some of the gifts I've received from depression. I have to be honest, in my own human wisdom, on most days I would quickly trade all of these gifts for the gift of not being depressed. But I want to acknowledge the gifts I see, and I'm sure there are more God has given me that I don't see yet. 1 is increased humility. I really like to be on the helping end of things a lot more than I like to be on the helped end of things. But depression has forced me to ask for a lot of help and support, and I needed to grow in letting others care for me and give to me. 2, connection. Depression has birthed relationships and deepened relationships I would not have otherwise. For example, like Nat said, when we joined the small group we're currently a part of, I was in a dark place, and being in that place took relationships deeper, faster than they would have had I shown up as my undepressed self. 3, depression has given me awareness that lots of people are struggling. I am aware on a Sunday morning that unless I'm crying or I share, people who are not close to me have no idea that I'm in this struggle. That's fine, of course. We don't share everything with everyone. But knowing that to most people I probably appear fine has made me keenly aware that others who appear fine to me may actually be in times of struggle. It's been a real gift to have this new compassionate awareness when I look around. Desperation. That's the next gift. When we lived in Indonesia, we were keenly aware how not in control of our safety or health we were. We had typhoid, we had dengue fever, we knew a mosquito bite could bring disease, and when we got back to the States, though we were equally as not in control of our safety and health, we felt like we had a lot more control. Depression leaves you desperate for God's intervention. The truth is, we always desperately need God's help, and we don't always feel it. There is a unique gift in being so aware of one needs for divine help. I want to end by praising God for the healing he has brought. It's a gift that things aren't nearly as dark as they were, and it's especially sweet to be hearing and feeling God again. And I'm super grateful for the people he's provided to walk with me. But I also want to say to anyone struggling right now, you're not alone. I'm still in it, asking for more healing and learning to navigate the harder days. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." And Deuteronomy 33:26, "For there is none like God who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms."